time be down. I had the radio on, I was driving.
Continuing the conversation. Continuing the conversation now. You would think, based on some of the coverage, that it is universal support for the overhaul of the insurance industry and no-fault insurance in Michigan. But what I'm trying to get to, and this is important, you have to dig into the numbers and understand, okay, how much money are we talking in savings? And do you get rid of that $220 per vehicle fee? I had an insurance agent tell me no yesterday. I was told earlier today on the program that, yes, if you opt out of the unlimited coverage, that goes away. But there seems to be a bit of confusion on that. We need some clarification there. Plus, I need to know, and so do you, I need to know if I'm going to save real money every month. Or is it going to be 20% or 30% or 40% of 30 or 40% of my entire insurance premium? Because if that's the fact, then we're talking about not as much money as I would like to assume is there. I would like to believe that there's going to be massive savings, but I'm not seeing that right now. I'm not seeing that right now, so it brings into question a lot of things. Joining me now, John Cornack, the president of the Eisenhower Center and the president of the Coalition to Protect Auto No Fault. John, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me, Steve.
Good to have you here. Listen, I'm trying to get my arms around this because I don't think the savings are going to be what some people believe they're going to be. I mean, we're talking, as I run these numbers, it might be about $20 a month, I think, of savings. It's a lot less than I guess I was assuming it was going to be. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really going to be $20 a month. It's off the tip portion of our claim of the no-fault insurance. And so it's not as big a drop as people say. And if you're looking at places like Detroit or Flint, that won't make that big an effect on their bill. I mean, they still won't buy the auto no-fault. So we gave a whole lot away for very little return.
So when you look at this, and you're part of the Coalition to Protect Auto No Fault Insurance here in Michigan. Now, it's been the focal point of an ongoing political battle for years. But you think that No Fault has given well more than 13,000 people the ability to have the best care possible in the country without bankrupting themselves or their families. And that's part of your argument, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the perfect case scenario. It's where the people pay for the people, especially in the catastrophic injury side. So there are 16,000 families in it now that are benefiting from this, and it's the best and highest quality in the country. When other people bring up other states, what they don't bring up is that they don't get care in other states. So they always want to kind of compare us to something that doesn't really exist. And, you know, when we're trying to protect auto no-fault, we're really not trying to protect the insurance. We're trying to protect the people that were injured in an accident. I mean, that has always been our number one priority.
Sure.
You know, and we also have a good industry that's been brought up around it. But what we're always asking for and what we've been talking for a long time is a healthy change to auto no-fault. It wasn't broken. It just need to be tweaked a little bit here and there. But what they've done to it now is really pretty much cut the post-acute and a lot of the home health right out of the care.
So let me ask you this. Well, why was CPAN not at the table when these discussions were going on? I mean, you've been a vocal participant in these conversations for years and years, but you didn't get a seat at the table. Why not?
Well, I really, Steve, I think our arguments are hard to overcome. You know, if an insurance industry tells you enough times that we're not willing to change or to deal, then you start to believe it. And as we get through the iterations of the new governors and the new billionaires in the state, what they do is they just start believing that we're not willing to change with the no fault. And so they didn't bring us to the table because I think they thought we were just going to try to stop it. And no fault's been a proponent for changing it for quite a few years now. For about 7 years, we've been trying to put healthy change in. which would have brought down the rates and made it fair across the board, fair and affordable across the board for everyone in the state of Michigan.
So let me ask you this. John Kornack here, he's the president of the Eisenhower Center, where you treat a lot of patients, and the president of the Coalition to Protect Auto No-Fault. When it comes to these catastrophic injuries going forward, under the proposed new guidelines, as you understand them for no-fault in Michigan or for insurance, and maybe it's not called no-fault anymore, what would be the level of care for someone sustaining a traumatic brain injury or a severe spinal cord injury or damage? What would the level of care be going forward compared to what it has been for the past many years?
Really, how it's changed. It's gone from being able to go into a rehabilitation residential setting and getting everything you need to where you'll, by about the time you get out of the hospital, your benefits will be spent down. You'll be working with any health insurance or Medicaid that you have, Medicare that you have, and then getting the benefits called for from that policy, which is really just minimal. You don't get any in-home health. You don't get any of those kind of things. You'll end up most likely in skilled nursing, especially the real traumatic brain injury or spinal cord injuries. They'll be in the nursing home systems and just, you know, really just trying to survive.
So who picks up that bill then?
The life that we give.
Yeah. Well, who will pick up that bill, John? Will it be you and I, the taxpayers in Michigan, that'll end up footing the bill for people that were otherwise uninsured?
Well, Steve, Medicaid's about to go through a big boom. That's what happened to all the other states that changed no-fault the same way. The states just, their Medicaid systems just explode. And then the taxpayers pay anyway. So what we're doing now is a much better deal than to have it go back to our tax system.
So is it a foregone conclusion, or do you think you have a couple more conversations here? It hasn't been signed. Is there anything you can say at this point to change the trajectory of where it's going? I'll give you the last word.
I tell you what you have to do is you just have to let the people speak. You have to let them be heard. And CPAN is one of those groups that's really strong, that's been behind them the whole way. So veto this, and let's move forward with real change that helps all industries. So both the insurance industry, our healthcare industry, and the people that really need it the most, which are the people of Michigan.
John Kornack, always appreciate your conversation and being here. The president of the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor and the president of the Coalition to Protect Auto No Fault. John, thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
There you have it. So the conversation continues, and it's not universal support for this. There are people that believe it might not be the best way to go. This hour of the Steve Gerber Show is brought to you by CPAN, the Coalition Protecting Auto No Fault, the Michigan Brain Injury Provider Council, and the Brain Injury Association of Michigan, the voice of brain injury in Michigan. And I guess, as you look at this, you ask yourself, okay, what happens to me or to members of my family when this changes? And is the savings that we are about to hear about, is it significant? Does it add up to something significant that you think is worth the trade or the trade-off, as it were? And what about that per-vehicle fee? I need some real clarification on how that's going to work in this whole conversation. Straight ahead, Tom Constand, president of the Michigan Brain Injury Association and a CPAN board member. Sit tight. You're on the Steve Gerber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, chief operating officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.